1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Time for the law feature here on Hot Business, as always brought to you by leading full-service law firm Webber Wentzel. Through an alliance with Linklaters and relationships with firms across Africa, Webber Wentzel ensures that you have the best expertise wherever you do business. Now, a recent judgment of Judge Norman Davis in the Pretoria High Court, which ordered the South African Revenue Service to release former President Jacob Zuma's tax records from 2010 to 2018, has created quite a stir. And in an article in Daily Maverick, we saw the anonymous legal commentator Professor Balthazar launching what some call quite a scathing attack on the judgment. He called it dangerous, and he's concerned that if the Constitutional Court confirms its findings, it could be a pernicious weapon in the hands of the dark side of journalism. Well, I'm joined by Dario Mila. He's a partner at Webber Wentzel who acted for journalist Warren Thompson, the Financial Mail, and Amar Bongani in the case. And Dario, it's created a big stir, this judgment. Firstly, what is the background to the case?
Hi, Michael. Yes, thanks so much for the invitation. The background to the case is, in fact, something which illustrates why the judgment is correct, in my view. And that is that President Zuma was alleged in the President's Keeper's Book by Jacques Poe to not be tax compliant in various respects. The allegations that were published and investigated by Poe included that, according to Poe, Zuma had not submitted tax returns for many years during his presidency, that for the first few months of his presidency he was receiving a big salary from a security company in Natal, and that he hadn't paid fringe benefits tax on the Nkandla upgrade, amongst others. So there was massive public interest in these allegations, and that prompted one of the Financial Mail journalists to bring an application under PIA, or a request under PIA, to SARS, to say to SARS, please let me have these tax records of President Zuma from 2010 to 2018, because that will show whether, in fact, these allegations are correct or not. SARS refused the application under PIA, and an internal appeal failed as well, and that prompted the litigation.
Now, when one looks at the judgment, and obviously tax practitioners here work for many rich and powerful individuals, so they've been in the main quite critical of the judgment, stating that taxpayer secrecy is inviolate. It's one of those things, one of those red lines that should never be crossed. And clearly, you've argued here on the balance of probabilities that there is overriding public interest. What do you make of some of the critique around that inviolate line around taxes that should never be crossed?
Well, I think the point that I would disagree with is that it should never be crossed. I think that it's correct to say it shouldn't easily be crossed, and that the default position, which I agree with, and which our clients agreed with in the case, is that there should be taxpayer confidentiality for all the reasons that have been put up and that are good reasons. But having said that, the direct response to the critic who says, well, what about my clients and the wealthy taxpayers and other taxpayers, and won't their records be made public? The answer is no, because if the taxpayer is not involved in any substantial contravention of the law, which would be revealed through the tax records, then he or she or it has nothing to worry about at all. It's only where that form of public interest is triggered, in other words, where there is evidence that shows that there is a substantial contravention of the law and the tax records would relate to that contravention, that's when the public interest override kicks in, which is the override that the judge has now said applies to tax information, just as it does to, frankly, national security information. And I've always thought it quite anomalous that, you know, you can make a request for national security information. That can be refused because the Access to Information Act says there are grounds to refuse that kind of information. But if you can show, as the requester, that there is public interest in the information, you know, take, for example, perhaps information around the Nkandla security upgrade, if that had been refused in a PIA request, then you'll get it because the public interest override applies to national security information. But it doesn't apply to tax information. It applies to every other category of information, I should add. Legal privilege, you know, private information, commercial information, but not to tax information. So the big message from the case is, or that Professor Balthazar, for example, and others have not answered, is why is tax information immune from the public interest override in circumstances where all these other categories of information are not, like national security information.
And as Judge Davis does say, in response to what SARS put forward around the compact between the taxpayer and SARS, and this being critical to it being able to collect taxes, that it's not really the compact. It's the fact that if you don't pay over what is due to SARS, you could be severely and heavily penalized. And that's really the kind of coercion that is at play here, not necessarily secrecy. One issue that I might have here is what is the role of SARS in prosecuting these cases, Derek? Because if Mr. Zuma has contravened any tax laws, surely it should be up to SARS to thoroughly investigate the case and use their powers. They've got huge powers under the Income Tax Act, under the Tax Administration Act. They're wide and sweeping. Surely we should be asking questions of why SARS isn't investigating this.
Well, Michael, again, that shows why it's important in this particular case to have that information, because if indeed it does reveal that President Zuma was not tax compliant in various respects, then the kind of queries you are raising become relevant. You know, why have no prosecutions taken place, et cetera, et cetera. So that shows how important this particular form of information is. I might just, while on that question, illustrate why it is that this case doesn't open the floodgates. And that is, for example, quite evident if you take this case where, let's say, a journalist is leaked President Zuma's tax records after this judgment. Tax records come into the possession of the journalist. Question is, can the journalist publish them? The answer is no, because the publication can only happen after you've gone through that access to information process. And that means that you have to eventually rely on a court to decide. And that of course, means that you know, you can't simply with impunity publish someone's tax records. Mm. If Michael is leaked tax records of a very prominent businessman today and thinks that there might be something public interest in there, what you've got to do is make a formal application for those records under PIA. SARS has to weigh in. The taxpayer has to weigh in. If there's a refusal, you can go to court. If there's not a refusal, the taxpayer can go to court. And ultimately, the court will look at it and say, you know what, we think that in this particular case, the substantial contravention threshold has been met. And yes, Michael should have the right to get those records and publish information about them. But it's a long process potentially, and one that has lots of checks and balances that mean that this bogeyman that has been put up by critics of the judgment, that suddenly tax information is going to be splashed all over the internet, that's I'm afraid, simply exaggerated and doesn't accord with the judgment at all.
And those are significantly high hurdles, as you've just sketched out. What are the next steps here? Because Zuma pretty much gave up his right to appeal because he chose not to oppose the application. And so that sort of nullifies the Audi principle a little bit here. So what happens next? Is it in SARS court now to appeal?
Absolutely, Michael. Yes, you're right. So Zuma decided not to participate in the case. And in fact, in another case, the public protector case, had tweeted that he doesn't have any objection to his tax records being made available, at least to the public protector. So President Zuma can't appeal. SARS can appeal the aspect of the case that says that they've got to provide President Zuma's records within 10 days. But the other big step that still has to happen is that we have to refer the matter. Well, the matter is now referred to the Constitutional Court to see whether it will confirm the declaration of invalidity by Judge Davis. So next year, at some stage next year, the Constitutional Court will relook at everything and will decide whether Judge Davis was correct or not. And before then, it might be that SARS appeals the order that says they must give President Zuma's records to the Financial Mail. So we'll see whether they do that. They've got a few more days to indicate whether they'll be appealing that aspect of the judgment.
Very interesting indeed. Dario Milo, thank you very much. Partner at Weber Wenzel, who are active for Warren Thompson, the FM, and Amo Bungani in one of the most keenly watched tax cases in some time, with the Law Feature, as always, brought to you by Weber Wenzel. With over 150 years of experience and deep industry knowledge, Weber Wenzel is the leading full-service law firm on the African continent.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.